My name's Joe T. I'm an addict. This is my second year here. You know, well, first off, my clean date is March 6, 2002. In Hugs Not Drugs, like they say, it's in the Cumberland area. And, you know, when I, like I say, you know, last year was my first year here, and when I came here last year, it was my first time that I spoke. And what I was doing is I was sitting over here. There was a crowd of us sitting around. And, yeah, I guess it was probably about 15 or 20 of us. And somebody came over and says, does anybody here know how to speak when young in recovery? And, of course, you know, I put my head down. I didn't want to say anything, my sponsor being there, and about 15 or 20 other people. And I look up, and all fingers are pointing at me. And a lady asked me, she's like, you know, can you speak on it? And I'm like, yeah, I guess I can. And, you know, so I walked to the amphitheater, and it was probably, you know, about the time I got there, you know, then they called me up on stage, you know, up there in front. And that's just a demonstration of how God works in my life. When I first came into recovery, you know, I come from a background where I had no God. You know, my God was me. I always viewed myself as my higher power. My family and things like that, they never pushed me as a child to go to church or do anything. When I came into recovery, I was real rebellious against the idea. Actually, when I first came into recovery, that word right there scared me right back out. You know, the real deal is that, you know, I just wasn't ready. But that word God is something that I always ran from. I never liked it. I always looked at it as like a crutch in people's lives, like people that couldn't handle life turned to God. And, I'm more of the type of person where I have to visually see it to believe it. And, but this last time I came into recovery, back in March of 2002, you know, about my first 18 months in recovery, you know, I didn't have a sponsor. I didn't work the steps. Basically, all I did was I just showed up to meetings. You know, I didn't have any service positions. I wasn't doing anything. And basically, through my life, you know, basically the only thing in my life that changed was the fact that I wasn't using. And, you know, so I was still handling problems the same way, running from them, not dealing with them. And things started happening in my life, like, you know, starting to get in arguments with family and friends. And I didn't have the ability to hold a friendship, you know, because honestly, I didn't really like anybody. I didn't like myself. But it came to this point in my recovery where, you know, using to me really started sounding good again. And, you know, basically because all this stuff was piling back up and I was running, and I just didn't want to face it. And finally, I broke down, and there was this guy in recovery, and I always share this, you know, there was this particular guy. Every single time I came into the rooms, he'd always ask me, who's your sponsor? You know, what step you on? And he's the guy that I always ran from. You know, I tried to, you know, go to the other side of the room. And so what I did was I got a sponsor, and just to keep this guy away from me. I couldn't fool him. I mean, because basically he knew what I was doing and things like that. And this sponsor that I got, you know, I just was like, you know, he was from another fellowship, and I looked at him. He was a lot older than me, and he wasn't up to date with my age and things like that, so I could con him. Well, actually, what happened was, you know, this guy was always asking me for money and for cigarettes and things like that, so honestly, he got too expensive. And, and the thing was is that it just came to a point in my life where I really wanted to change, because, see, I was sitting in the rooms, and there was people all around me that were coming in the same time I was, and they were actually joyous. You know, they felt good. You know, new things were happening in their life. They were being successful through life. And, you know, and I was just remaining the same. You know, I'd come into the rooms and act like things were okay, but in all reality, things just weren't good. It's because it wasn't changing. And, you know, I got this sponsor. And the main reason I picked this sponsor is because every single time he came in the rooms, there's just a glow about him. You know, there was just something about this guy that really attracted me to him, but I just stayed away from him because he'd always hold me accountable. And, It was like in the middle of the winter, and he came in the rooms, and he spoke of him and his wife didn't have heat all winter, and it was cold, and this man was just real happy, it's like it just like rolled right off his shoulders. And to me, at that point in time, it was, you know, that really hit home to me. It was like, wow, you know, me, I'd be cussing and carrying on and crying, and this guy's just happy, you know, because he found so many other things to be grateful for. You know, so needless to say, you know, I got this guy as my sponsor. And the first thing he did was he gave me a service position. We would talk on the phone. He told me to call him for 30 days, and I would do things like that, you know. And in that period, he did ask me if I had any relationship with a higher power. And, you know, basically I told him no. You know, I just wasn't there. I didn't believe in it. It's just basically something that I always try to stay away from. The real deal is, you know, I had no idea. You know, I was filled with so much ignorance. And there was a particular day we was driving down the road, and I think any other day I would have been closed off to this, but I can't remember what I was talking to him about. But he said, you know, Joe, he's like, why don't you just try praying? He's like, honestly, he's like, really, what do you got to lose? And just trying. And, you know, I didn't really respond to him with it and everything, but it really sunk in. It just really sat inside me. And, you know, and I lived alone. And, you know, at that point in time, I was going through girl problems, of course. And I tried praying. And the thing was, at that point in time, from the point in time I got him as a sponsor, I felt as if, although God wasn't directly in my life, he was in my life because my sponsor had God. So, you know, until then, you know, I was believing in my sponsor in return, being around him, you know, because I believe in the saying, you know, we hear it all the times when we come in the rooms, man. We hear it's like, you know, if you hang out with, you know, at the barbershop long enough, you're going to get a haircut. You hear all this negativity. But I feel at the same time, man, if you're hanging around a whole bunch of good people that have God, people that have, like, that you know, really rely on God, I think in return, you're going to get it. Because what I did was I took a step back and I looked at everybody that was in my life, not people that I put in my life, but people that I feel as if God put in my life, and everybody around me had a real firm understanding of God. And they didn't only talk about it, they really acted upon it. And through that, and through seeing my sponsor grow, and seeing like just the things that my sponsor was achieving through life, I mean, it was real attractive. And with that and everything, you know, I really relied on prayer, although in the beginning I didn't know what I was praying about. I mean, it was more or less like a 7-Eleven prayer, you know. I mean, I was praying to my convenience. You know, I was praying for anything and everything, you know, only when I wanted something. And, you know, but that's where it started. You know, but I think the whole point in that, though, is that I was willing, and I was trying. And I think in return, through that time and everything, through constant prayer, you know, I'd go through a spell where I'd pray for like a week, and then I'd cut off for like a month. And through that week, though, you know, I had this level of serenity within me. And I didn't really realize it until after I stopped praying, because my sponsor has always told me, you know, taught me, like, you know, about this tape in my head and this checklist. And through, you know, when I'm going through some stuff, you know, one of the things I look at is like, what am I not doing? You know, and I'll go through, and a lot of times it's like, well, I haven't been praying. And when I'm not praying, you know, things in my life then that's my will. And basically everything in my life sort of just goes the wrong way. You know, like I say, you know, I've been in the rooms a little over 6 years now. And for me, you know, I went from believing in nothing. Last year when I was here, at that point in time, I was living with my grandfather, which I didn't have to. I moved in with my grandfather because he had Alzheimer's. He was in the hospital, and him and my grandmother lived together. I got a phone call saying, hey, you know, basically my mother was telling me they're not going to release him from the hospital just basically because, you know, she is not able to take care of him. And one thing that I always believed was I did not want to see none of my family go to a nursing home. So at that point in time, I basically said, you know, well, I'm moving home. And I didn't even think about it until I got off the phone. Now, when I got off the phone, I was thinking to myself, like, what the heck did I just say? You know, and this is where I feel as if my higher power has brought me. You know, today in recovery, the way I look at it and the way I talk about it is I feel like when we do step three, we're not done step three. I feel as if step three is in my life forever. It's in everything I do because I feel that if it's a relationship with God, and I look at it as if I'm going to have a relationship with a friend, you know, in order to have a healthy relationship, I just can't sit there and talk to him once a month or talk to her once a month and expect that to be healthy. You know, and I can't look at God no different. I can't look at God as like, you know, my imaginary friend that I had as a kid. You know, when I mean, you know, today when I pray, man, I pray with my heart. And today, you know, I feel as if, you know, just when I came up here and everything, you know, I have no script, I have nothing. You know, I rely on God. I pray before I come up and I just ask God to speak through me. I don't know what I speak about. Half the time when I'm done, I don't know what I said. Unfortunately, I'll be recorded, so I'll have to hear it. So I'll probably hear where I lied at or something like that. But you know, the thing is today is like, you know, I came so far and it did not actually, I didn't make it this far until God came into my life. You know, I heard a speaker say one time, he says, you know, the step work, you know, step work without God is like using a toaster without a plug. It just doesn't work. You know, I feel as if God is my electricity. He's the driving force in my life and he does everything. He's there for me no matter what. You know, but back to the relationship is I found, you know, through doing step work and things of that nature, the closer I get to God in my step, the closer I get to God, I truly feel, you know, the more freedom I achieve. The better I understand the step work, you know, the better my surrender is. You know, the better everything is in my life. You know, and like I say, you know, I just can't help to think, you know, when I first came in the rooms how I would argue this. I had a real good friend in my life and I remember this one particular time he came into my house and he was talking of God and he brought in this CD and it was rap and but it was a Christian rapper and he was putting that stuff in my CD player and I mean I went off on him. You know, I called him like a hypocrite because like just a week before that he was talking of how things just wasn't you know, just we was on the same page, you know, but the thing was is he surrendered and he got rid of his own ideas and he started listening to other people and he started practicing different ways because he knew his way didn't work. And at that point in time in my recovery, I was real miserable. You know, like I say, this is my second year here and honestly, you know, I mean, I love it up here. You know, I'm from a different area. Like I say, you know, I'm from the Almost Heaven area. We had our convention at the beginning of the month and I had the option, you know, because I have other responsibilities today, you know. But it was either go to that one or come to this one. But when I came here last year, in the midst of like living with my grandfather for, you know, I was at that point in time it was 3 months, but I was in there 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And the thing was is when I took that on, I did not really understand what Alzheimer's was all about. And it really drug me down. I mean, you know, I had other family members coming in. They would stay a week, and somebody said to me last year, they were like, you know, Joe, you know, who's going to be there taking care of your grandfather while you're here? And I sat there and I named all three names. And he said, isn't that amazing how it takes three people to take care of your job that you do alone? And when I sat back and really thought about it, you know, honestly, that wasn't me. I really feel as if I was driven by God to do that. And, you know, because the one thing is right before that happened, I got out of a relationship. And that's something that I was praying for a stronger relationship with God. I was praying to God and I was just like, you know, I just wanted to be closer to God. And what happened, the way I look at it now, is he removed her from my life. And I'm not saying that, you know, honestly, when I look at it, you know, I treated her like crap. You know, I did not deserve that girl to start with. And basically, along that line, somewhere I was relying on her and not God. So I feel as if God removed me from removed her from my life. And at that point in time, I got to say, you know, that's when the pain got real bad that, you know, I really started praying to God and things of that nature. And the next relationship he gave me was a stronger relationship with my grandfather. And through that relationship, I truly had to rely on God to get me through it. You know, this year it's a little bit different story. You know, my grandfather just passed away in May. You know, and I'm real grateful that I got to spend those 6 months with him before he got real sick. You know, because when he passed away, the one thing I looked at is, you know what, for the first time in my life, I gave something my all and it wasn't about me. You know, it had nothing to do with me. I got nothing in return except for, you know, I mean, a great relationship with my grandfather before he passed away. I mean, a whole lot of gratitude for doing what I did. I never thought I was capable of doing that. And you know, and everything I talk of is nothing but, you know, through the grace of God. You know, and then not even a week after he passed away, my mother was diagnosed with cancer. The way I explained the thing was, when my mother was diagnosed with cancer, is the way I explained that is it's like that worst nightmare as a kid come true. You know, that was that thought in my head. Is like, what if something would happen to my mom? You know, what would I do? And even early in recovery, man, that was one of my reservations. Is I would talk, like my sponsor asked me, you know, is there anything that would take you back out there? I was like, I don't know what would happen if my mom, you know, something happened to my mother. You know, but I'm so grateful for the people I have in my life, you know, people that are God-centered. Because, you know, as soon as I found that out, you know, the first thing I thought about was death. I mean, that's what I really literally related cancer to. It was like cancer equals death. I mean, because, I mean, every time we turn around, that's what we see. But it took a friend of mine, a real good friend of mine, that told me, said, Joe, you know, if you really think about it, she said, you know, I know more people that survive from cancer today that die from it. And, you know, but I wasn't looking at it that way. I was looking at everything negative. You know, today my mother doesn't have cancer. She went through operation and she came right out of it. And she went back for, I don't know what that report was called, but, you know, where they checked to make sure that there wasn't anything else in there. And she's free from cancer. You know, and it's just, today, you know, it's just absolutely amazing what God has done for me in my life. You know, I came from basically having nothing. And when I'm in recovery here, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about the materialistic things. I mean, I have my own place and things like that, man, but I have a relationship today. You know, I'm a son today. My mother actually looks to me and talks to me. When she was going through cancer, she called me up, was crying to me about and expressing her feelings. And I feel as if the only way she's done that is because I demonstrated that to her. And I feel as if all this stuff is like, and when I speak and everything, I give all my gratitude to God. Today, I pray when I get up, I pray when I go to sleep, and I'll pray probably 100 times through the day. I mean, just that's just my relationship. You know, I know, you know, I have a few sponsees in my life, and the thing is I know for me today is if there is anybody in here that hasn't found God, I know for me all I had to do was more or less just, I didn't know what I was praying to. I just started trying. I just started doing it. And you know, as far as God's will and everything, I just did what I thought was right. And I feel as if in return, you know, God will bless us for that. Just as long as we try to do what's right. And I think in return, it's just like when we go into a relationship. You know, and it takes a while to get to know somebody. You know, just overall, you know, I'm real blessed to be up here. You know, Bob, originally I wasn't going to come up here. I was sitting there battling it. And then Bob asked me, you know, that I might possibly speak, which really, you know, that I really don't like speaking. But you know what it did was it gave me a commitment. And, you know, and that's something in recovery I can do today is I can keep a commitment. You know, I know I got a long ways to go. And, you know, the thing is though, today, you know, like you said last night, you know, today, I get to participate in my own life. And when you said that last night, I mean, that just really made sense to me. You know, because that's something I've never did throughout my whole life. You know, I was there, but I really wasn't there. You know, it was always about me, and it was never about nobody else. And today, you know, it feels good to give back, and it feels to be a part of, you know, a part of something good versus something totally different. You know, Narcotics Anonymous saved my life. And I feel as if, you know, this NA program is a God-given program because I know through that basic text, when I read that basic text, you know, it told my story. And I'm not the only one. And I feel as if for something to touch thousands and thousands and thousands of people, I know that's not man-made. I know it isn't. I don't think no man can do that. You know, I just have so much gratitude for God. And, you know, basically, you know, I'll just keep coming back, and that's really all I got. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. I would like to introduce the second speaker. His name is George C. from Recovery in the Clearview group of NA in the Butler area of NA.
everyone. My name's George. I'm an addict.
Hey, George.
You know, whenever I came around here, I used God. Way before I got here. God, get me out of this one. I'll never do that again. I mean, that's the only time I ran there. I was brought up in a semi-religious family. I mean, my mom and dad, they went to church on Sundays, and they dragged me along. And you know, from a little kid, I didn't feel like I fit in, because like everything that these people were into, it was about, and everything that I was into, they wouldn't accept me for who I really was. So I had to hide who I really was, you know. And you know, as I got older, I would see some of these people doing the same things that I was doing, but for 1 hour every week, they'd be this different person. I don't know, I could swear when I'd be there on a Sunday morning that my hands and everything would be red. You know, like I could touch them and they'd be like a different color. It was like weird, like I wasn't supposed to be there. And I kind of like believed in that type of a higher power, but you know, I mean, I just didn't believe in everything they believed in. So I kind of like let God go at that point. And I blamed God for a lot of things in my life, you know, like anything that went bad, you know, I mean, a lot of stuff, you know, I would think God did that to me because of this, because of that, because I wasn't a good person. Whenever I came into Narcotics Anonymous, and I too, you know, you mentioned the word God, it's like, I got a lot of work to do there, you know, because I did. I mean, I searched, before I found Narcotics Anonymous, I did search through that area of religion. I mean, I knew that the one that my family was into wasn't for me. But my wife at the time, I have three daughters, and we were raising them in the Catholic faith. And I wasn't Catholic. But at all these functions that I would go to for my kids, we would have some of the functions, there would be beer there. And I'd be drinking right along with the father, you know, and I thought, this is my religion right here. I've found it. Well, so I went through this whole year thing of converting. And I really felt a presence of a higher power a lot through this year. I felt really good about it. And then the following year, they asked me to sponsor this person, because in that thing, you have a sponsor also. And they asked me to sponsor this guy. All right, I'll sponsor him. And I was telling them about how great this Easter vigil was, you know, and all the things you're going to experience. And it's like all of a sudden we didn't have the father that we went through. We had a different pastor, and he skipped a lot of this stuff that I was telling this guy about, and I kind of had a resentment just because, you know, he didn't get to experience this. I thought he should have changed it. So in confession, which I wasn't real good about, I said, "Hey, Monsignor, you know, what about this Easter vigil here? I mean, you shortchanged these people. I mean, you know, that really meant a lot to me when I came into this. And you didn't do it. What's up?" He said, "Oh, it's just a tradition that doesn't have to be followed." And I didn't follow that, you know. I got a real resentment about that, and I quit going to that place, quit going to that church. And I figured I didn't fit in there either, you know, because, you know, if it fit that day, he would do it. I don't know. But when I came into Narcotics Anonymous, I heard you people talking about this God of your understanding and a higher power. I like the idea of calling it a higher power, or taking G-O-D as a good orderly direction, or if I don't have one, use yours, or use the group. You know, because I remember going to meetings all pissed off. And whenever I would leave that meeting, feeling 1,000% better. You know, going into a meeting and being so strung out on the stuff that's dealing with my life and saying, I'm not saying a word, I don't even want to be here. And then somebody brings up a topic and it's just what I'm going through. And somebody has to share exactly where I'm at. Now, come on. That's not coincidence. That's a power greater than me doing for me what I can't do for myself. So I blurted out, guess what? I feel better. You know? I feel better. I got a sponsor early on and we started working steps, and I got to that second step about coming to believe in a power greater than me. And I did. I used good orderly direction, and I used the people in the rooms as my higher power. Although I did have this idea of my own higher power, but I wasn't willing to bring it in. So in the third step, I didn't realize it said that in the third step. I was all gung-ho to do the third step, and then it said about willing to turn my will and my life over to this power greater than me. Well, I thought that was six about turning my will over. I thought I could still run a little ways with this stuff. No, I had to turn my will over. And I wasn't real okay with that one for a while. I had to work on that stuff for a while. And I come to an understanding of my higher power. And my higher power, I started developing into this loving, caring, compassionate higher power that loves me for who I am and understands that I'm not perfect and still loves me for who I am. And I could deal with that one, not this punishing thing. And that became my higher power. And we started talking about, are you praying? No, not really. Start praying every day. Okay. So at night, I would jump into bed and, because I think he said something about hitting my knees and praying. And I would jump into bed and I'd say, oh, I forgot to hit my knees. I'll just lay here and pray. So I would lay there and pray. And it wasn't anything special, but it didn't feel right. And I did that for a long time. As a matter of fact, I would even play this little game in my head. Nobody is around but me and my higher power. And I am playing this little game like, okay, I'm going to jump in. I'm going to forget to get on my knees. Because when I'm walking in, I'm fully aware that I'm supposed to be on my knees before I get in bed. But I'd get in bed anyway. And finally, I think I was going through some real tough times. And I finally did. I hit my knees. And man, did it make a difference. I felt humble. And that's just for me. I mean, I know plenty of people don't hit their knees and it works for them. For me, it didn't. I actually relapsed in that area of not hitting my knees. And whenever I came back is whenever I had to do it. I mean, I really didn't see the relapse coming until it hit. You know, it's like, what did you do wrong? What didn't you do? Well, I didn't hit my knees. Guess I'll try that. You know, and that's whenever I incorporated that, and I felt that difference, and I was okay doing that. And then I got into this relationship. My life was going good, and I got into this relationship, and I would hit my knees if I beat her to the bed. But if she was there before I got there, I wasn't hitting my knees in front of her. Relapsed again. So when I came back, I kind of had an idea that, you know, it didn't matter who was around. If I had to hit my knees and talk to my higher power, I'm going to do it. And I remember I was chairing the, I think it was the 7th spiritual retreat at Butler, and I only had like 2 years clean at the time, and I was going insane. I hadn't slept for like 4 days. Come up time for the Saturday night speaker, and there was tornadoes in the area and all this stuff, and they came over and said, you know, you might want to tell your people that there's tornadoes in the area, and we did. And the lights were out, and we had candlelight up there in the barn, and I was just insane, and I was, because I hadn't slept, I was very emotional, and I thought that, you know, I'm going to get up in front to introduce this main speaker, and I'm just going to break down and bawl for no reason at all. So I asked one of my other guys, I asked another person on my committee, I said, you're going to have to introduce this speaker, man. He said, I can't do it. I cannot do it. And he said, all right, I'll do it. I said, is you sure you can't do this? It was coming up to the time. So I went in the back room, and I got on my knees, and there was plenty of people watching, and I prayed. And they said whenever I got up and I came out, I was a new person. And I could do that. Went out, introduced them. I was fine. I really got some good sleep that night. There was a time in my life when I was going through that. I got to back up a little bit. When I was going through that second and third step, you know, I mean, I was financially strapped, and I had the basics. And it come time to pay my, I think it was my car insurance. And I had just the basics. Wasn't doing anything special, going to meetings, and I had just basics, phone service and things like that. No cable. And I didn't have enough money to do that. So I asked I prayed to my higher power. I said, God, give me an idea. What should I do here? I mean, tell me what I need to shut off. Should I shut off my electric? Should I shut off my gas? Should I take the phone away that I need to call people whenever I don't feel like, you know, when I don't feel like going to a meeting, whenever I need somebody? Do I need to take that away, or do I just not need the truck? You know, do I not need my transportation? Please guide me through this. So it was like within the next couple of days, and I didn't have the money. I went to see my old landlord, because he was a friend of mine. He said, man, am I glad to see you. He said, I've been holding this mail for you for like 3 months. So I come down through there, and there was one from the courts. And I thought, oh God, this can't be good. I opened it up, and here I overpaid some child support. So here's some money. Cool. Now, a couple months prior to that, the secretary came to me and said, George, you have a paycheck you didn't cash. Yeah, right. I had a paycheck I didn't cash. I lived paycheck to paycheck. I said, no. There was one that was like a dollar more than what my rent was, and I just signed it and I gave it to the landlord. That's probably the one that's missing. He didn't cash it. Okay. Well, I had to get my suit out again for something, and here in that suit pocket was that uncashed check. And the thing that blew me away was that whenever I added the two together, they were within a couple dollars of what I needed for my insurance. I said, okay, buddy, you've got my full attention now. You have got my full attention. Because there wasn't anything extra there, but there was enough to get by with what I needed. You know, my needs were met. And from that point on, I knew my higher power and I had a connection, that prayers would be answered. And I always get frightful about, like, praying about things and then thinking about, like, situations, like trying to procrastinate on how they're going to happen. Because however I have it planned, guess what? Totally different. I always get what I need. I don't always get what I want. Never happens the way I want it to. Sometimes it's better than I ever dreamed. Like my life today. my life today. My clean date's 12-2 of 95. If you'd have told me that if staying in Narcotics Anonymous for 12 and some odd months, my life would be like this today, I wouldn't have believed it. I don't know. I mean, early on, I used to call my sponsor and ask him, "How do I know what God's will is for me? How do I know?" And I even forget what he would say. He said, "Just listen for the answer." And what I've come to believe in is my gut feeling. I believe that my gut feeling is my direct line to my higher power. Anytime that I have a gut feeling about something and I go against it, there's consequences. Anytime that I need to take an inventory of myself about what I'm doing, is it right or is it wrong? It's my gut feeling that I have to go with. I mean, I don't always go with that, but like I said, there's consequences. I mean, I got this T-shirt on. A buddy of mine made these, and he said, "Here," because we were talking about this God of our understanding thing, and he said, before I came out, he's in California, he said, "I got a T-shirt for you." He said, "Remember we were talking about the last time you were here, about all the pain we go through, even though we know what's right and what's wrong, we still got to go the other way and feel the pain." So it says, "Let go or get dragged, God." You know, and that's the way my higher power works in my life. I mean, it seems like he's beside me as long as I'm doing the next right thing. When I decide to make a right turn and go my way, he's like, "Catch you on the other side, don't go too fast." You know? I don't know, it's unbelievable to me. I mean, how whenever somebody doesn't have a higher power in their life, how badly I want to give them a higher power. Because without a higher power in your life, without my life, you know, in my life anyway, I was alone. I mean, I travel a lot, and I do a lot of traveling by myself, but I'm not alone. I have my higher power with me. And I have my phone now, but like whenever I'm on my game, whenever I'm feeling my best, I call it on my square. When I'm on my square, I'm praying all the time in the morning. If something goes good in my life that day, I thank my higher power immediately. That's when I'm on my square. Whenever I'm feeling really good, I give my higher power the credit for that. It's not me. It's my higher power. And it's when I remember to be there, things are really wonderful. You know, I mean, I can hear those noises out there. I mean, I love like going fishing, and just to ride up here this morning was spiritual, you know, because I'm with my higher power. You know, it's silent. Nothing going on but what's going on in here, you know. Well, I think I'm drawing a blank now, so hopefully you got something out of that. I know I did. Thanks for letting me share.